Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. Tonight, we're going to talk about another of the parables. And I'm excited about this. Let me remind you, parable literally means something that is symmetrical. It's a story. It's an illustration. And that illustration conveys a truth. The story is not the issue. It may or may not be something that is a true story, so to speak. But just because it's an illustration doesn't mean the truth is any less. It is there as a truth for us to learn more than for us to spend time on the story. Tonight is one of those. This is one that I've been excited about teaching. I think I can show you some things in here that will bless you. Matthew chapter 13, look at verse number 24. Matthew 13, verse number 24. In another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now skip down to verse number 36. Verse number 36, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear. This, of course, is the parable of the tares. This parable is only given one time in Scripture, and it's here in Matthew chapter 13. You'll find some of the parables are in two or three of the first three books of the Bible, but this one's only given one time. But it was a way for Jesus to teach a deep truth and hide that truth from the devil. If you remember last week, it said that Jesus spoke this way as a mystery to the evil one. He was still hiding the gospel from the devil because he needed the devil to crucify him, if you remember. So he was kind of speaking in illustration, letting the disciples know what these were, and they were taking it that much farther. Now, you say, why? Because Jesus couldn't take the angels wanting to be saved and changing their minds, the demons, the angels that had fallen with Satan. By the way, they were subject to him. How many times that Jesus would face a demon and they were subject to him and said, Ooh, my, we know who you are. Isn't it crazy? Demons know more than most people do. Now, let me give you the story. A man plants good seed very carefully in his field. An enemy comes in at night and plants tares after the good seed is sown. As the field begins to grow, it becomes evident there is wheat or good seed, and there's also tares that are there. They look very similar at first, but as they start growing, they start seeing, uh-oh, we got problems. A man that oversees the field comes in and says, Look, I thought you planted good seed there. The field is full of tares and wheat. And the worker went to the farmer and said, Should we go out and gather them up and pull them out? And he said, No, if you do that, you're going to pull all the wheat out with it. Their roots are already combined, and it's too late for that. Wait until the harvest is ready. Then I'll call for you, and the workers can go out and bundle up all the tares, cut them out, and we'll burn them so that they don't regrow, and then we'll harvest the wheat, and everything will be okay. That is basically the parable of the tares. If you notice, there's a break between verse 30 and verse 36 where Jesus and the disciples get together later. After the crowd leaves, the disciples come to him and they say, "Can you tell us a little bit more about this parable of the tares? We don't quite get that one. What did it really mean?" And that is the focus of the truth. The story wasn't the issue. They didn't want to know more about the story. They wanted to know more about the truth. And Jesus begins himself to explain what the parable is. Verses 37 through verse number 43 is Jesus' answer to what the parable is all about. Now, everybody look at me for a second. In my own shy, timid little way, I've let it known, I don't put a lot of stock in symbology in the Bible. This represents this, and this represents this. And you've heard me say, I don't give much credence to that unless God says this is what that means. This is one of those cases you're going to see exactly what Jesus himself said these things mean. It's not typology then, it is Jesus explaining the truth of this parable. This is where people take too much, this person's name means this, so that we build a whole sermon on God is love based on this person's name. Gag. Sorry, it might sound good for a while, but it's not real scriptural. Have you lived up to what your name means? Case in point. So let's find out what Jesus says here, and I'll go through this fairly quickly, but I think you'll see some things that you may not have ever seen before. First of all, who is the sower? Look at verse number 37. And he answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." If you remember back earlier in verse 23, it said there was a sower that went forth to sow in the field. Well, we find here in verse 37, that sower of the field is the Son of Man. By the way, that's Jesus.
Amen.
Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'm skipping ahead here. Matthew chapter 18. I'm excited about what's coming up, so hang on. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse number 11. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Okay? So the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. I want you to know Jesus is the Son of Man. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Just another page or so over there. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28. The Bible says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This is in reference to Jesus. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse number 5. Ezekiel 44, verse number 5, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all the laws thereof. Mark ye well the entering of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. Notice something about this. When you see the term Son of Man, and it's got a capital S, it's in reference to Jesus. It's a specific person. It doesn't say the sons of man or the sons of men. It doesn't say a son of man. It says the Son of Man. Now, Jesus came to spread the seed, which is the gospel. It's the Bible. It conceives seed and it grows fruit bearing. Folks, that's why it's important what seed we talk about.
Yes, sir.
That's why what Bible we use is important.
That's right.
It's amazing how much false doctrine is taught by false Bibles. Mm-hmm. Those are tares. False Bibles are tares. Well, it says Bible, it must be good. No, I've seen something called the Satanic Bible. That's not good. I've seen the Farmer's Bible. I've seen other things like that. The word Bible just simply means book. These are the words of God. And we have to be careful, but you notice that the sower is Jesus, not the Pope. Not the church. Jesus is the sower of the word of God. And I just want you to understand, he is the sower. By the way, those are his words, not mine. I don't have to take you through scripture and twist it to say, well, it might be this and it might be that. Jesus said, the sower is the Son of Man. And I am the Son of Man. So that is in reference to Jesus. Next, he says in verse number 38, the field is the world. Guess what that means? It means earth. It's the word cosmos. It's the word, the world itself, the world order, so to speak. That is all of humanity throughout all of time. That's from Adam to present day. Not just the globe, but every person. But it's not for eternity. That's not an eternal word. That is a temporary word for the world. This is all of mankind, both lost and saved. It's those who love God and those who hate God. Isn't that what John 3:16 is all about? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That world there is the same world as this sower who went into the field and he said, the field is the world. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to, this one's going to get me in trouble. We're not supposed to play God deciding who gets the gospel and who doesn't.
Yes, sir.
We're supposed to give them the gospel. I've seen a lot of people get saved. I didn't think we're going to get saved. I'll just be honest with you. Brother Barnes, I've knocked on doors thinking, oh, this person's listening. They're going to receive the gospel. I get to the gospel. Nope, not interested. The one I thought was going to get it didn't. The next one looks like it got in a fight with a weed eater and a pop rivet gun comes with stuff sticking out everywhere. And you're thinking, oh, gosh. This isn't going to last very long. Watch that guy bow his head and trust Jesus is a Savior. If I were the judge, I'd have given it to the other one. But I'm not the judge. I'm just supposed to give the gospel to the whole world. That's our job. Our job isn't to make sure that they receive the gospel. Our job, as we remember last week, some fell on stony ground. Some the birds came and ate it up right away. We're not accountable for the ground. We're accountable for getting the seed out. And the field is the world. Did you know you can't witness to the wrong person? I've been given all kinds of addresses everywhere I go. Go visit this person. I've knocked on the door. Does so-and-so live here? Nope, they live a couple doors down. Well, I don't go, oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. We'll see you later. Reach in my pocket and hand them a gospel tract to tell them who I am. You'd be surprised how many people got saved that way. I may have had the wrong address, but I was at the right house.
Amen.
I've even made that statement before. Well, I got the wrong house, but I'm at the right place. What do you mean? You're here. I'll give you the gospel. The field is the world. There was, I've seen this in many churches. As you leave the church building, there's a sign over the door that says you're entering the mission field. I don't know that it's necessarily the mission field. You're just entering the world, and it's our job to get the gospel everywhere we go.
Yes, sir.
You can call it mission field. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but we're supposed to get the gospel to every creature. And so Jesus said, number one, he's the sower. Number two, the field is the world. Now, number three, the good seed are the saved people. Notice verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. You say, who is that? The saved people. Those are the saved folks. Turn to John chapter 3. Now, I've heard people say all kinds of crazy things about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and who are the children of the kingdom of God and who are the children of the kingdom of heaven. And some believe that the Jews are the kingdom of the earth or the kingdom of God and we are the Gentiles or the kingdom of heaven. My Bible says that we're all one in Christ. Look at John chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the what? Kingdom of God. Look down in verse number 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, who are the children of the kingdom of God? Those who have been saved. Very simply, by Scripture. Now, listen to me very carefully here. If we are the good seed, we're the wheat, we are that which is bringing forth fruit, that means this. We're supposed to be valuable. We're supposed to be living by that book. I'm going to show you something about this truth in a moment that might shock you. We're supposed to be not living in fear, in hiding. We're supposed to be growing in the field. Churches are losing their salt by hiding from a virus. We're supposed to be growing in the field, not hiding from sickness. We're not supposed to leave our seed in the barn. We're supposed to be growing in the field. We're supposed to be bearing fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, remember? But we're supposed to be doing our part, growing with the good seed, not just sitting there saying, well, boy, aren't the tares really bad this year? The tares are getting worse and worse. No, we're supposed to be outgrowing, producing more seed, which produces more fruit, which makes it the ability to produce more seed down the line. So, we are the good seed. Guess what? Are you growing? Are you producing? Are you bearing fruit? Or are you hiding in the sack in the barn? Hate to say it that way. It's amazing how many Christians are sitting in silage right now. Sitting in the crib. Corn crib, not the baby crib. I am talking to country folk, but I thought I'd better say it. I got some city slickers that wouldn't know what that is. You see, we're the ones that are supposed to be bearing fruit. The lost people are not going to bear fruit for God. We are the only hope. So we're to bear fruit. Now, verse number 38, number 4 says, the tares are the children of the wicked one. We start in verse 38 again. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. You want to guess who the wicked one is? El Diablo, the devil. See. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse number 44. John chapter 8. Verse number 44. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. John 8:44 is pretty strong. You are of your father, the devil. Say, who is that, people that are not saved? I don't care how goodly of a person they may be if they're lost, they're a child of the devil. Now, I'm going to make some strong statements here. The tares are the world, but it's also the religious world. These are people who grow to look like the wheat at first. But then as things start getting a little bit more serious and the fruit's supposed to come, then it reveals that they have no ability to bear fruit. They're only taking from the host plant, which is the wheat. They want God to accept them as they are, not the way he says they should be. Please don't mistake this. I'm not against anybody necessarily. But I will preach against bad doctrine that sends people to hell. And denominationalism as a whole is sending people straight to hell. The Pope is not a good man. He is not the vicar of heaven. He is the vicar of hell. His doctrine is abominable in the sight of God scripturally, and he is an antichrist because he claims to speak in the place of God. The Bible talks about the mother of harlots. Guess who her harlots are? It's the denominations that came out of the Catholic Church. Baptists are not Protestant. We did not come out of the Protestant Reformation under Martin Luther. Did you know that Martin Luther killed more Christians than the Pope did? Martin Luther would want my head on a charger right now. He fought against it. The trouble was Martin Luther wanted to be the Pope and not let the Pope be the Pope. But your Lutherans, your Episcopalians, your Presbyterians, your interdenominationalists, your Pentecostals, all of them came out of that, what they call the Protestant Reformation. We didn't reform from the Catholic Church. Church was started by Jesus, and John the Baptist baptized him, and Baptist wasn't John's last name. We are the only ones that can trace back to Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. The Catholic Church didn't start till 330. Almost 300 years after Jesus died. Constantine started the Catholic Church in 330 at the Council of Nicaea. Everybody doing okay? If people would just study their history and know it, they would understand. And all of these other denominations came out from the Catholic Church. By the way, that's why they're going back to the Catholic Church. More and more of them look more and more like the Catholic Church. They're going back to Mama. I hate to tell you, Baptists are not Protestants. If I have to fill out one of those things and says, what's your religion, you know, Catholic, Christian, Protestant, other, I check other and put in all capital letters, Baptist. Say, well, that's Protestant. I had somebody tell me that. I said, you don't know anything. And they look at me. I can do the history with you if you want. But let me tell you something. The tares want a form of Christianity, but they don't want to do it God's way. Why did Constantine start the Catholic Church? Because he only had rule over the Roman Empire in the political world, and the religious world was gaining more and more power, and he felt like he was losing the kingdom through the religion, so he said, I'll start a state religion, key word, state religion. And I can have them politically as well as religiously. That is why to this day that the Vatican is its own country and that the Pope has state rights as a state representative around the world. He is a political figure as much as a religious figure. Vatican City is its own country. And that's why the Pope has free access to all governments, because he is a representative of a country. And boy, do they have a lot of money. So these tares, they use Christianity to suck the life out of the wheat, suck the life out of the roots, so that they can have appearance of being fruitful without having to be fruitful themselves. Look at verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Guess what's going to happen? Matthew chapter 7 says, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Then thy name done many wonderful works. And Jesus said, depart from me, accursed, in everlasting darkness. I never knew you. You are a tare, not wheat. Matter of fact, he talks about it being in verse hell. In hell, look at verse 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Anybody want to take a guess where that is? God said these tares, though they're growing with the wheat, they have an appearance of wheat. When the harvest comes, after the rapture takes place, guess where all the tares are? God's going to whack them down, bundle them up, and cast them into the furnace of fire where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, I didn't say it. Jesus did. Don't get mad at me. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. Well, I just don't believe in hell. Well, Jesus talked about it himself right here. So these tares are going to burn or go to hell because they are not saved. They're not children of the kingdom. They are of a child of the wicked one, their father, the devil, who is a liar. It's amazing how much religion is based on lies. Buy candles. Get your loved one out of purgatory. Spend $20. Here you go. $20 for a 29-cent candle. You think I'm kidding? I've talked to enough Catholics, it's true. Then you go to confession, you got to pay the priest, because he's supposed to take your sins on you that you confess to him, and he's supposed to suffer your punishment for it. Well, he does that after you go buy all his liquor. He's going to drown himself in your sorrows, amen? Who does he think he is trying to take your sin on? Only Jesus can do that. I can go down the line. I can sprinkle holy water on anybody. I never found water that had holes in it, but you can sprinkle all the water on people you want. You can pour it. You can sprinkle it. You can dip it. You can have your golden censers with your incense in it. You can do whatever you want, but that's man's religion. That's not God. By the way, it's old temple worship that Jesus said do away with. So, number five, next. The reapers are the angels. Look at verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, this is very important. This is a very important truth. We, the wheat, are not the ones who are supposed to be dealing with the tares. If you don't get anything I've said thus far, please pay attention to this. Brother John, I find nowhere in the scripture where Jesus said that the wheat's supposed to point out where the tares are. The wheat's not supposed to go to the farmer and say, I got a bunch of tares around me. Can you get rid of them? No. The wheat's supposed to stand in place producing fruit. We have too many Christians who want to quit producing fruit to point out where all the tares are. And we're losing our productivity by trying to look around versus doing what God made us to do. Boy, that's a good statement. We are supposed to grow and produce fruit. We're not to deal with the tares. We're supposed to produce seed. That's our job. The job of a seed of wheat is to produce wheat. It's not to point out where all the weeds are. That weed as it grows isn't supposed to stop growing and point to where all the weeds are around it so the farmer can find it. God didn't make you his busybody to point out what you think is wrong in life. God didn't appoint you as judge to point to him to do his work for him. He said, stay in place and grow and produce fruit. And it's our job to do just that. Boy, that's good stuff. We're to let God and his angels deal with the tares. Quit playing around with tares. Contemporary churches are playing with tares. Let's be like the world to attract the world. Let's look like the tares instead of wheat. Maybe we can turn tares into wheat. No, they're going to choke the life out of you. May I say something? God and the angels don't need our help. I don't mean to be unkind, but I think God's big enough to do his job by himself. And when he needs help, he'll let you know if he needs you. We're not to point out who we think are tares. We're supposed to keep producing seed. Look at verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend in them which do iniquity. I don't find anywhere where he said the wheat's going to do it. How about we quit? This one's going to go over real well. But I know enough about wheat. If it starts growing sideways, it's not going to produce. Well, when you're looking all around the field, instead of looking at the sun, you're not going to be very fruitful. If you keep your eyes and your face pointed towards the sun, the S-O-N, as the wheat looks at the S-U-N, guess what'll happen? You'll produce more fruit. Verse 43. I love this. This is enough. This ought to make you want to shout right here. Now, how many of you, before we read it, how many of you have ever seen a field of wheat where it turns gold? All right, just bright, beautiful gold. Look at verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, look, if you'll just keep growing and producing fruit, you'll shine as the sun after we have reaped out the tares. Then you'll be as gold as the sun. Guess Jesus knew what he was talking about, didn't he? We do this by producing seed. We don't do this by concerning ourselves with the affairs of the tares. Our job is not to play around with tares. We have to grow in and amongst them. Jesus said, you're in the world, but not of the world. You're going to be in the tares. You're going to have to work with them. You're going to have to be around them in the neighborhood. You're going to have to associate with them from time to time. But you don't have to be like a tare. Keep growing like the wheat. Too many churches are becoming tare churches, not wheat churches. We want to look like, act like, talk like, and be like the world. As I said to a family today, I said, we're not a rock and roll church. And they started to giggle. They said, boy, aren't there a lot of those around these days. And the late young lady looked at me. She said, I even went to one that had a fog machine. I said, just one? I said, I know of three of them within the area here that have those. All the multicolored stage lights, the fog machines, the rock music, like you're just being at a rock concert somewhere, though I've never been to one, but some of you have told me about them. I promise I've never been to one. Can I tell you something? That's a terror church. That's a church that wants to grow in amongst the wheat, but they're not producing any seed. Very few people get to live in a world where it's just wheat. I get to work in a place where there's mostly wheat. I do have Brother Josh and Mrs. Barnes. I don't have to work outside in the world, but I promise you one thing, I put a lot of hours out in that world. A lot. I've knocked on a lot of doors trying to convert people into wheat seeds, amen? Spreading the gospel seed. We are to focus our energy, our attention, and our growth on producing seed and producing fruit, not pointing out the tares. God knows who the tares are. Quit concerning yourself with even... Okay, get really mad at me. Quit worrying about everybody that you know that's not living right. How about you live right? Some of you are not producing because you're so upset with people that are not producing. Just do what you're supposed to do. Let God take care of the tares. And if they're growing and they're a child of God, God's going to whoop them. Don't worry. They'll get their whooping. Not your job to whoop them. It's that plain and simple. I'm sorry. We're so worried about everything else being just the way we want it. How about we do it God's way, not the way you want it? Quit concerning yourself with anything but what you have on your stalk. And believe me, there's plenty to take care of. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful parable. Maybe we ought to put it to practice in our life. Then we'll quit comparing ourselves among ourselves. Let's just stand tall and true. Let's point to the sun and let's produce as much fruit as we can, because Jesus is coming and he's going to harvest. He's going to snatch us out of here before too awful long. I don't know about you, but I want a full head of wheat. I want that thing packed full. I want to be able to produce as much as possible so that when he whacks that thing off, I'm ready. That's what the parable of the tares are about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Kind of a simple truth, but wow, deep and powerful. Just a story, preacher. Oh no, Jesus described to us what that story meant. And the truth is far, far more important. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that truth tonight, something I needed. Would you raise your hand?